This is Learning About the Roman Liturgy with Louis Tofari. The rubrics, the liturgy, the traditions of the Roman Catholic faith. And now, here's Louis Tofari.
Hello, and welcome to another segment of Learning About the Roman Liturgy. I'm your host, Louis Tofari of Romanitas Press. Today we're going to talk about a topic that I really like to discuss, which are the special reverences that get made during Lent. Now in the Roman liturgy, there are several types of reverences, or acts of respect made with the body, such as a bow or genuflection, or even to kneel. Reverences are made either to indicate a sense of adoration or veneration, as a mark of respect, or even to embody an attitude of humble supplication. In the Roman Mass, there are many prayers accompanied with a form of reverence. For example, at the word Oremus, or let us pray, which is said by the celebrant, for which he bows at that word towards the altar cross or the Blessed Sacrament before continuing with the prayer. Now, during the Lenten season, there are several unique practices of reverences that occur during the Roman liturgy in conjunction with prayers to indicate our penitential spirit. So, for example, we have the kneeling during the Flectamus Genua, kneeling for the collects of the ferials, kneeling during the track at the words Adiva Nos, etc., and also bowing during the Oratio Super Populum. There is also the prostration of Good Friday made by the celebrant and sacred ministers. Unfortunately, the purposes or significances of these special reverences made during Lent are not very well known by many Catholics, either for their purpose or manner of practice. So hopefully, today's discussion will help to give a better understanding for what these things are done, and therefore you can participate better in the Roman Mass when these practices come up, and you can better appreciate these unique Roman customs that are being done. So let's start with discussing the Flectamus Genua, which translates literally as, "Let us bend our knees." The Flectamus Genua prayer action consists of an exhortation, Flectamus Genua, which is let us kneel, followed by a proclamation, Levate, let us stand. The Flectamus Genua is said before the prayers or collects that accompany the extra lessons or readings before the epistle, which occurs on some of the Ember days. For example, Ember Saturday before the second Sunday in Lent. Now, the Flectamus Genua is not introduced with Dominus Vobiscum. This is actually restricted to the primary collect of the Mass, which is said just before the Epistle. In fact, that's how the altar server knows when he's supposed to get up and go to move the Missal, after the Epistle, that is, for the Gospel. He knows which one's the Epistle versus the various lessons because he'll know that, look, the epistle is the one that said just after the Dominus Vobiscum. So that way he's not standing there forever waiting for the various lessons to be read. Just a cute little note there. Now, at low and high masses, the celebrant says Flectamus Genua facing the Missal and then kneels for a moment of silent prayer, resting his hands on the altar. At solemn mass, though, it is the deacon who chants both Flectamus Genua and Levate after the brief pause for prayer. And this is because it's actually the deacon's office to give the proclamations or the exhortations. So it's only at low and high masses when you don't have a deacon that the celebrant absorbs the deacon's office, you might say. The Flectamus Genua is also seen done several times during the solemn intercessions or prayers that are said during the Good Friday solemn afternoon liturgy. So, returning now to the Flectamus Genua, I'd like to emphasize how the prayer action works again, because it goes rather quickly. So first, we actually kneel for a moment after the celebrant says Flectamus Genua, or the deacon, and spend a moment of silent prayer. It really shouldn't be merely a genuflection, and the response of Levate, to stand, let us stand, should not be done immediately after Flectamus Genua, which unfortunately is so often seen. Another point is, many are unaware that the new rubrics of 1960 modify, or I should say clarified, that for the Flectamus Genua, the single knee genuflection was to be replaced with both knees. As prescribed in the general rubrics section, or Rubricae Generalis, of the Missale Romanum, the celebrant, quote, utrumque genuflectit, unquote, or, quote, kneels on both knees, unquote. Also, per the new rubrics, at low mass, the acolyte no longer makes the response Levate in place of the deacon. The celebrant is now prescribed to say both Flectamus Genua and Levate at low masses. Now, these rubrical clarifications can be found not only, of course, in the Missale Romanum, but in English you can find it in the translation of the Rubricae Generalis section. There's a little red book called Rubrics of the Roman Breviary and Missal, also by such rubricists as J.B. O'Connell in The Celebration of Mass, A Study of the Rubrics of the Roman Missal, and both of these books are available from Angelus Press. Okay, now that I've explained some of the finer points about the Flectamus Genua, let's just run through it real quick to see what the procedure is and how it's practiced. So without turning towards the faithful, the celebrant bows to the altar cross and simultaneously says, Oremus. Then, turning back to the missal, the celebrant says, Flectamus Genua, and all in the church kneel for a silent moment of prayer. After the short pause in silence, the celebrant says, Levate, and everyone stands in the church. The celebrant then says the prayer with the conclusion, and all reply with Amen. Now, in addition to kneeling for that short pause of silence, everyone in the church should also make the various bows in unison with the celebrant. So at the word Oremus, and of course, if the holy name of Jesus is used in the conclusion. Now, I'd like to sing for you an example of a Flectamus Genua using the prayer from Ember Wednesday in Lent. Oremus, Flectamus Genua, Levate, Preces nostros quiesumus Domine clementer exaudi, et contra cuncta nobis aversantia, dexteram tuae majestatis extende, per Dominum nostrum Iesum Christum filium tuum, qui tecum vivide regnat in unitate Spiritus Sancti Deus, per omnia saecula saeculorum. Amen. Another custom related to masses of penitential character is kneeling during the collects. Now, when I mention collects, it doesn't include just the collect that's done before the epistle, but it also includes the post-communion, which of course occurs after the distribution of Holy Communion. Now, this kneeling for the collects occurs for masses on ferials or weekdays, but not on Sundays. This custom of kneeling during the collect originated in the Requiem Mass to show sorrow and beg suffrage for the holy souls in purgatory. Later, this was included in ferial masses of penitential character, or you're using violet vestments, to show our contrition and supplication for mercy and obtaining assistance for our sins. Now, the celebrant says Dominus Obiscum as usual, and then he turns to bow towards the altar cross or the Blessed Sacrament as he says Oremus. After that, everyone kneels in the church except for the celebrant And at solemn mass, this would also include the sacred ministers and the MC who's standing next to them. And everyone will remain kneeling until the concluding Amen, then everyone stands. So let's do a quick run through to better understand how kneeling during the collect works. So first, the celebrant turns towards the faithful as usual, and he says, Dominus vobiscum. He then goes over to the missal on the epistle side, turns and bows towards the cross while saying, Oremus. Everyone now kneels in the church but the celebrant and the sacred ministers. The prayer or collect or post-communion is then said by the celebrant. After the faithful respond, Amen, everybody now stands. So hopefully this little run-through gives everyone a better idea of how kneeling during the collect works at sung masses. Of course, at low mass, you're already kneeling, so there's no need to kneel. But of course, you could bow, which is what the acolytes are supposed to do at this point, is they're supposed to actually bow during these collects. Because normally you would be kneeling if you were standing. We'll continue talking about some other special Lenten practices of reverences after the break.
You're listening to Learning About the Roman Liturgy with Louis Tofari here on Magnificat Radio, magnificatmedia.com, living our traditional Catholic faith. We'll return with Mr. Tofari's talk after this. Are you sanguine? Phlegmatic? Do you have children who are a bit melancholy? This Saturday at approximately 12 noon Central Time U.S. and again at 7 p.m., Father McDonald discusses the four temperaments.
The sanguine is an extrovert. He readily makes acquaintance with other people, is very communicative, loquacious, and associates easily with strangers.
Join us Saturday at approximately 12 noon Central Time U.S. and again a replay at 7 p.m. on Saturday evening for the Four Temperaments with Father McDonald here on Magnificat Radio, magnificatmedia.com, living our traditional Catholic faith.
Magnificat Radio is available locally anywhere you are, through the internet, worldwide. If this is important to you, to have Magnificat Radio available in your life, then your tax-deductible contribution will help sustain it and keep Magnificat Media, Magnificat Radio, going. Thank you for listening to and supporting Magnificat Radio.
You're listening to Traditional Catholic Radio.
To live every detail of God's plan in our own minds and souls, willingly and joyfully.
Magnificat Radio and MagnificatMedia.com.
Welcome back to Learning About the Roman Liturgy. I am your host, Louis Tofari. So we continue now with another special act of reverence that occurs throughout the Lenten season, and that is kneeling during the tract of Ash Wednesday, Domini Non Secundum. Now, as I explained during my talk about Ash Wednesday, everyone kneels in supplication during the concluding part of the tract that starts with the words, Adiuva nos, or as in English, Help us, O God our Savior, and for the glory of thy name, O Lord, deliver us and forgive us our sins for thy name's sake. Now, at sung masses, all kneel while the scholas sings this section, and the sacred ministers, in fact, kneel on the predella, so the celebrant and the deacon and subdeacon. So at sung masses, the celebrant will not actually kneel even when he says it silently at the missal. He'll only actually kneel when he says it aloud at low mass. Now, during the remainder of the Lenten season, this tract from Ash Wednesday is said after the gradual on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Now, this curious repeating of the tract of Ash Wednesday, which is accompanied by everyone kneeling for the concluding words that beseech God's assistance, acts as a periodic reminder of our holy resolutions made at the beginning of the Lenten season. It's like a little liturgical post-it note during Lent of don't forget about your resolutions. It also helps to indicate that we must rely on God's assistance in order to conquer ourselves and become more Christ-like, which of course is the purpose of Lent. We now come to the Oratio Super Populum, or Prayer Over the People. The Oratio Super Populum is introduced with the exhortation, or rubrical instruction, Humilitate Capita Vestra Deo, bow your heads to God. Now there's an Oratio Super Populum for each ferial in Lent. And these Oratio Super Populums are very ancient prayers. And they are said after the post-communion prayer on ferials or weekdays of Lent. So from Ash Wednesday, inclusive to Wednesday in Holy Week, but not on Sundays. Now there are various opinions for the historical practice of the Oratio Super Populum in the Roman Mass. One reason given is that it was a form of concluding blessing before the rite of the last blessing by the priest had come into use. So originally the last blessing was a private devotion of the priest, and it wasn't really part of the Mass. And then later it became more and more part of the Mass until 1570 with the codification of the Roman Missal. It actually became a part of the actual Mass. So in this case, as a form of concluding blessing, the Oratio Super Populum was not restricted just to penitential days as it is today, but it was used for all liturgical days, even on greater feasts. But there's another opinion that the Oratio Super Populum was actually restricted to penitential days only, particularly those of Lent, and that the prayer over the people was said over those who had not gone to communion, such as the public penitents who were readying themselves for the Easter Vigil when they would be reconciled to the Church. We do know that Pope St. Gregory the Great restricted the prayer over the people, or Oratio Super Populum, to the ferials of Lent to indicate that it was a season requiring greater spiritual combat over all other liturgical seasons. Also, it forms a relation to the church militant concept, which was introduced in Lent with the prayer Concedit Nobis Domine during Ash Wednesday. This is the prayer that is said immediately after the distribution of the ashes. Quote, grant us, O Lord, the grace to begin the Christians' war of defense with holy fasts, that as we do battle with the spirits of evil, we may be protected by the help of self-denial, through Christ our Lord. Amen. So let's examine the manner in which the Oratio Super Populum, or prayer over the people, is enacted. At a low and high Mass, after the post-communion, the celebrant remains at the Missal, and facing it, he says, Oremus, while bowing to the cross as usual. Then the celebrant will say the exhortation, Humiliate Capita Vestra Deo, bow your heads to God, or more literally, humble your heads before the Lord. Now, it should be noted that the Sacred Congregation of Rites ruled in 1879 that the celebrant bows towards the Missal as he says, Humiliate Capita Vestra Deo, but only for these words. However, everyone else in the church will bow during the entire prayer until its conclusion. Now, it's interesting to note that at solemn mass, again, it's the deacon who actually sings the exhortation, Humiliate Capita Vestra Deo, because, again, this office belongs to him, like singing the gospel, Anita Missa Est. And the deacon, unlike the celebrant, will actually turn slightly towards the faithful as he and then pronounce the words, Humiliate Capita Vestra Deo, turning to the faithful and telling them, please bow your heads. And then they bow their heads during that entire prayer up until the conclusion. So to give you a better idea of what's occurring during the Oratio Super Populum, let's do a quick run through of what it would be like at low mass. So bowing towards the cross, the celebrant says, Oremus. He turns to face the missal. The celebrant bows while saying, Humiliate Capita Vestra Deo. He raises his head to say the prayer, but everyone else in the church are all bowing. The celebrant then says the prayer. And in this case, we can take the prayer from Wednesday of the first week of Lent, which says, We beseech thee, O Lord, illumine our minds with the light of thy brightness, that we may see what has to be done, and have the strength to do it through our Lord Jesus Christ, thy Son, who liveth and reigns with thee in the unity of the Holy Ghost, one God, forever and ever. Amen. And in this particular case, after the name of Jesus has been said, everyone raises their heads, and then, of course, if it's a sung mass, everyone will sing Amen. In the solemn afternoon liturgy of Good Friday, we get to witness the most extreme posture of humility that exists in the Roman Rite, the prostration. Now, prostration is made by laying completely flat on the ground. And you'll see this being done not only at ordination ceremonies, but also of ceremonies of when religious vows are being made, for instance. So we don't get to see this too often. There's only one time it's prescribed during the actual year or yearly ceremonies, and that's on Good Friday. In the case of the Good Friday ceremonies, though, only the celebrant and the sacred ministers, the deacon and the subdeacon, make this prostration, while everyone else kneels, and of course they may bow, making a moderate bow of head and shoulders. This includes the altar servers, too. They do not make the prostration. They simply kneel. Now, the old rubric for the prostration before 1955 prescribed that the celebrant and the sacred ministers would say the entire Psalm 50, Miserere Mei. So that's how long they would actually be prostrating themselves for. As of 1955, in the new Holy Week ritual, that is used as an approximate amount of time, though sometimes the celebrant may kneel for as little as like saying a Hail Mary. There's no definite time frame any longer. And now the prostration is made in complete silence without any prayer accompanying it. The prostration, of course, for Good Friday is a sign of our crushing humility and contrition for the passion of Christ, which has been caused by our own sins. Well, this concludes our broadcast today of Learning About the Roman Liturgy. I hope that through this talk you've gained a better appreciation and understanding about some of these unique practices of our Roman liturgy. If you're interested in this topic and you'd like to gain more information about reverences made during Mass, I would suggest my book, The General Principles of the Ceremonies of the Roman Rite, which is available at my website, RomanitasPress.com. Well, until next week, I'm your host, Louis Tofari, with Learning About the Roman Liturgy. May you continue to have a sanctifying season of Lent, and God bless.
We hope you've enjoyed this week's edition of Learning About the Roman Liturgy with Louis Tofari. To learn more, visit Mr. Tofari's website, RomanitasPress.com, and join us here each Thursday as Mr. Tofari talks about the rubrics, the liturgy, and the traditions of the Roman Catholic faith right here on Magnificat Radio at MagnificatMedia.com, living our traditional Catholic faith.